Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And elementary age, if you'd like to head to the back, you can meet your teachers for your special program. So many of us have our personal favorite parts of the Bible. If you're a Christian, you read the Bible regularly, you may have a particular part of the Bible that grabs us. I remember when I first started reading the Bible on my own as a child, I was really drawn in by the Gospel according to Matthew. But there may also be parts of the Bible that we find less appealing for whatever reason. That's okay. For me, honestly, the book of Psalms is one of the hardest books for me. I somehow feel like less of a Christian for saying that, but there actually was a time not too long ago when I had preached twice as many sermons on Leviticus than I had on Psalms. If you don't understand why that's funny, Leviticus is commonly accepted as everybody's least favorite parts of the Bible. It's hard to read, hard to get through. I know that some of you may find the Psalms to be the most meaningful. I know that the Psalms are among the most significant writings in the history of the church. They're the basis of so much of our church music. I get that, but it's poetry. And with poetry, bearing my heart, I feel a little bit like Ron Weasley in one of the Harry Potter movies when Hermione, the girl, says to Ron, the boy, "Don't you understand how she must be feeling? Well, obviously, she's feeling sad about Cedric and therefore confused about liking Harry, guilty about kissing him, conflicted because Umbridge is pressing to sack her mom from the ministry, frightened about failing her OWLs, and all that time busy worrying about everything else." To which Ron replies, "One person couldn't feel all that. They'd explode." Now, I say that both to encourage that it's okay for parts of Scripture to be a bit harder for us and perhaps even less appealing than others, but also to challenge all of us to immerse ourselves in God's Word even when it's tough for us. While the Psalms, I will admit, are still not my favorite part, marinating in Psalm 46 this week really has been a great encouragement to me, and I hope that you will find it to be so as well. So if you would, turn with me to Psalm 46. If you'd like to follow along in your bulletin, it is in there. It's the one that we said back and forth, Psalm 46. And you'll notice in your bulletin, but also if you opened up Scripture, you would see this, that it's kind of nicely broken up into three sections, three stanzas, verse 1 through 3, 4 through 7, and 8 through 11. And so we're going to look at each section separately, sort of leading us towards the message and meaning as a whole. And so I've given each section a title, so to kind of help us stay focused on it, but we're going to look at that each in turn as we get towards, I think, the whole meaning that God has for us. So the first section, verses 1 through 3, I'm going to title God in the Tumult. God in the Tumult. So verse 1 says this: "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Everything is shaken. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble. Everything is shaking and coming unglued. The earth and the mountains are the epitome of stability. They're not supposed to move. They're supposed to stay put and stay stable. But the description here is that even the most stable things in the world are shaking and moving under us. Nothing is as it should be. Everything is falling apart and quaking." I remember very vividly the first time I was ever in an earthquake. I was on a mission in Costa Rica up in the mountains of the rainforest right on the border with Panama, and suddenly the little church that we were in, everything starts shaking. The ground, the walls, everything just starts shaking under our feet. And that's the picture of Psalm 46, that the whole of reality is doing that, shaking when it shouldn't. And in the ancient Israelite way of thinking, the mountains and the earth are the most secure and immovable things, and the sea, the water, on the other hand, is viewed as the most menacing and chaotic and restless thing. And so in this psalm, the immovable is moving and quaking, and the terrifying and volatile is getting worse. Everything is going wrong and is about to fall apart. The stable is shaking. Parents divorce. Someone you count on hurts you. The sudden death of a healthy loved one. The most stable things in life begin to shake. And the volatile things get worse. Politics are tough in a good season. But so many things seem to be getting worse, not better, or at the very least more divisive. Anxiety and depression, which are real, and we have no shame or embarrassment if that's part of our story, but anxiety and depression have increased significantly. There are more school shootings. Just recently I heard from a young child who was scared about getting shot at school. The volatile things in life seem to be getting worse in so many ways. And the psalmist says that in the midst of that, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our protector and the one who holds us up right in the midst of the tumult and chaos. God is right here with us through the trouble of the worst kind. God is present and in control even when it appears that everything may well be just as bad as it could be. God is our refuge. When everything else is shaken, God is our refuge. When family life is being broken up, God is our refuge. When the political scene gravely concerns us, God is our refuge. When violence is prevalent, God is our refuge. When we have no idea how we're going to get through it, God is our refuge. And as the psalmist says in verse 2, therefore we will not fear. It's not we won't fear because, the trouble's not so bad. It's not we won't fear because the pain isn't real. It's that we won't fear because God is our refuge and He is not movable. Even the earth and the mountains move and the sea foams and roars, but our God remains steadfast. We can trust that. We can trust Him, and we need not fear. So that's how this psalm begins. God is present in the tumult. And we move to verse 4. God is in the tumult, and then we see that God is among His people. God is among us. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is present among His people. Suddenly, there's a shift that is talking about waters roaring and foaming, and then there's the shift to talking about a different sort of water. Verse 4, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. In the midst of the cosmic upheaval, God brings gladness and peace to His people. Because, as verse 5 says, God is in the midst of His people. God is right there with His people in their chaos. We are the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And because God, our refuge and strength, because God is in our midst, we, the church, the people of God, will not be shaken. Verse 5, God will bring us through the darkest nights and be our help when morning dawns. Even though the nations rage and wars are fought and politics is messy and violence is prevalent, God speaks and the earth melts away. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the heavenly armies, is with us. And when he speaks, world powers are defeated before him and melt away, because he is with us and he is among us. And so because the Lord of hosts is with us, we can, as verse 4 says, we can be glad. We don't have to pretend the danger isn't real. We don't have to act like everything is fine. The nations do rage and the kingdoms of this world do totter. Wars do happen. Families do fall apart. Chemical imbalances do plague us. People do hurt us. But the Lord of the heavenly hosts is right there in the midst of it, with us. All of that will melt away in his presence when he puts all things right. And therefore we can be glad. Not because it's easy, not because anxiety suddenly disappears, but we can trust in God who is right there in the midst of it all with us. We can be glad in him. God in the tumult, God among his people. And then we move into this third section, beginning with verse 8. God exalted in the world. Verse 8 says this: "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Come see the works of the Lord, he says. He will rescue his people in the end, even if it doesn't look like that's possible now. He makes wars cease. He shatters the tools of violence and brings peace. The nations fight and roar and look like they're swelling up and ready to foam over. And God speaks his word and they melt away. He calls to the violence. He calls to the armies and to the sickness and to the evil. Be still and know that I am God. And he calls to us. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes this verse, be still and know that I am God, comes and brings to mind calm water and beautiful meadows. Be still and know that I am God. And that can be very helpful, and that's fine. I don't mean to criticize that at all. But perhaps a more contextually accurate image from Psalm 46 would be this: devastation and desolation. And in the midst of that, we can be still, trusting that God really is God. We trust him even though we don't understand. He is God and we are not. He is God and the powers of this world are not. So even in the midst of that, we can be still and know that he is God. A few years ago, I was talking with my wife at lunch about this psalm because I was preparing to teach about it. And our son was at the table with us. It was one of those times where the adults are talking. We're not being confidential, but we're talking just sort of right over his head, and he's just sort of in the middle eating his lunch. And I quoted from verse 10, where God comes on the scene and says to the powers of this world, "Be still and know that I am God." And as I said those words in this conversation, "Be still and know that I am God," my then 3-year-old son, who had up until that point been eating his lunch quietly, after hearing me say, "Be still and know that I am God," he interrupted, looked up at me, and said, "But you're not God." And that's actually exactly the point. God speaks to those powers of this world who think they're in charge and declares to them, "You're not God. Be still and know that I am God," he says. "I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You're not God. Be quiet and recognize your Lord." And he says to us as well, in the midst of the desolation and upheaval in the world and in our own lives, God says, "I am God. I bring peace. I bring an end to this chaos. It's up to me, not you. Be still and know that I've got this. No matter what we're going through in the world or in our lives, God has us who are in Jesus. God has us and the world in his hands. And God will be exalted in the world. Even the evil powers that kick and scream against his rule will one day be laid low. God is moving everything toward the day when he will put all things right and he will be exalted as he is above all. Come see the works of the Lord. And the ultimate work of the Lord, becoming one of us in Jesus, living and dying and rising again for us. And the powers of evil are no match for him who defeated sin and death for us. Come see the works of the Lord. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so I'm going to invite you and challenge you this week to take your bulletin home or open up the Bible that you've got and read Psalm 46. And I'm going to challenge you to actually do that every day this week. Read Psalm 46 every day, even if you don't like poetry. But read it and think about it and stand in awe and trust in the Lord of hosts who is with us and melts the cosmic forces of evil away at his word. Maybe you should read Psalm 46 right before or right after you read the newspaper or watch the news. And hear those words, "The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And as you face the earth shaking and the mountains moving and the seas foaming in your own life, speak God's word to those storms as well. Be still and recognize your Lord. And then you and I can rest assured that God is our refuge and strength, that he is our very present help in trouble. God is in the tumult with us. He is present among his people, and God will be exalted in the earth. God has the last word. And that word to all who trust in him is, "I've got you." We need not fear. We can be glad knowing that God has us firmly in his hand. So no matter what goes on around us, no matter what happens in our nation, no matter what happens in our world, we can sing, it is well with my soul. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. May you know that deep down. For all who bear the name of Christ, for all who turn to him in faith, the Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress. So may you truly know and experience that today. Amen.